Attention. Attention. News of the day. Mid-news. Midday news. Stand by. Our good friend, the foreign minister of Guyana, who is now in charge of the Commission on Elections, meets with our people regularly. He said that it was no surprise to him yesterday about Congressman Diggs. He said it's a general conspiracy against black people by the United States government. And he said Carter is caught up in it, whether he wants to be or not. He said that Carter will swing to the right towards fascism. It's an election year, and Congress, he said that even when Israel, the Zionist state, was proved to have invaded South Palestine, Carter said something about it regarding human rights. But the strong Zionist, fascist, Jewish lobby made an issue of it, and Carter backed down. We had a meeting in our home with the United States, with the brother, correction, Guyana's newly appointed ambassador to the United Socialist Soviet Union, the USSR. He was fascinated by the types of crops we were growing. He said Guyana was concerned about doing things for export, and he said we should be looking into a cannery. He has heard that canneries are not expensive, something like $30,000. He mentioned parboiling okra and packing it, or canning pineapple. He said he knew that a cannery would go because there are no canneries in this country of Guyana. When asked if there would be any problem of us getting a cannery due to custom restrictions into the country, he said no, the government would welcome us bringing in a cannery. So the town forum, our people, steering committee, should be thinking strongly about this possibility, what we can do in the long range with canning. If we can keep enough citrus growing, our okra growing, there's quite a demand for okra, as I aforementioned. Parboiling okra and packing it. He also indicated that there is a strong move towards fascism in the United States, and would not be surprised at anything. He did have a good feeling towards China. He said China had given loans without strings attached. He said, though, you have to understand the Chinese. They don't like the Soviet Union, so their foreign policy includes anyone that they hope they can make into an anti-Russian. He said, of course, the Soviet Union is supportive of the PPP, the opposition. Therefore, China gave something like $54 million to Guyana's PNC. He said there's no longer aid coming from China. And, of course, some of the aid was given in terms of vehicles and other kinds of equipment that is not functioning at this time. Their expertise is simply not nearly as good as that of the Soviet Union and even the capitalist world, Britain and England. Stand by. Black African presidents backed the guerrilla leaders of Zimbabwe, or Rhodesia. The summit meeting discussed the internal settlement between Rhodesian Prime Minister Ian Smith, three sellout black leaders, religious leaders, to take away the British former colony from black majority rule. Five black African frontline states, Tanzania, Zambia, Mozambique, Angola, and Botswana, have been backing the Patriotic Front, a guerrilla alliance fighting a bush war for the last 6 years to end the horrible racist supremacy rule of the white Ian Smith fascist regime in Salisbury. The Patriotic Front has opposed the settlement and its leaders. We should have a map of Africa in prominent display so you can see the connection of these countries and what they border. Stand by. Stand by. As I said, Africa is our homeland. The majority of us have African heritage, the vast majority. So it is important that we know a map of Africa. As you know, South Africa is at the very tip of Africa. Swaziland is a sort of internal puppet regime that lives in concentration camp-like existence on the very east coast of South Africa. Lesotho is another kind of concentration camp regime in South Africa. Just to the north is Namibia. Namibia, as you know, their chieftain was assassinated last week. South Africa has sort of given it a type of independence. Botswana is just also directly north of South Africa, and it has exerted great independence, though that was not envisioned by South Africa when it set it up as a sort of puppet territory. Botswana borders Rhodesia and indeed is sending a great deal of guerrilla fighting force into Rhodesia, which is to the north east of Rhodesia. Botswana is, Rhodesia is to the northeast of Botswana. And Rhodesia, of course, is just to the north of a sort of tip of South Africa. Then on the coast, the east coast of Africa, going down, touching South Africa, is Mozambique. A socialist government, strongly pro-Marxist. It's been helped greatly by the Soviet Union. Mozambique borders, almost surrounds Rhodesia to the south and the east of its coast and all around the north. Then just above Rhodesia is Zambia, a left-of-center nationalist regime, and it completely then fills the northern part. So Rhodesia is surrounded without sea access by Botswana, Zambia, and Mozambique. And just a few miles from the tip of Rhodesia, across Botswana and Zambia, is Angola on the far west coast of Africa. Gives you a little idea. Malawi is just above Mozambique and just north of Malawi, and just to the east of Zambia is Tanzania, and just to the north of Zambia is the right-of-center large regime of Zaire, formerly the Congo, the Belgian Congo. It borders Zambia, Tanzania, Uganda. Uganda is just to the north of Tanzania, and just to the north of Tanzania is also Kenya. Kenya and Uganda are almost directly parallel. Kenya is just east of Uganda on the coast of Africa. And just above Kenya is Somalia, on the coastal region, that is. And just directly north is Ethiopia. Kenya used to be pro-U.S., but since Ethiopia is pulled away because of U.S. support of the expansionist regime of Somalia. As you know, Ethiopia has retrieved, it's gotten back its territory of the Ogaden and Eritrea, so it controls the Horn of Africa, where the Suez Canal and the Red Sea empties into the Indian Ocean. And that narrow strait where it passes into the Indian Ocean, or the Atlantic Ocean, is the Horn of Africa. That's allowing commerce, shipping, to go directly from the Mediterranean into the Atlantic, without having to go all the way around the Cape of Africa. Zaire, of course, has made excursion after excursion into Angola. It's a very large area, as I said, in Central Africa. And next to it, to the east, is Tanzania and Uganda. And just above it is Sudan. And a little bit of it above it is Central African Republic. And then, of course, a part that's still called the Congo, just to the left. But most of its border is with Angola and Zambia. And this right-wing Zaire regime received Chilean, Chinese, and USA support, attempted invasion into Angola that was repulsed, expelled totally by the victorious Angolans. Fighting alongside them were the Soviet Union and the Cubans. But we could go on and on about the map of Africa. It should be there for us to see and to look at. Next to Sudan is Chad and Niger. And above that, of course, is the great and brave People's Republic of Libya that gave us quite a bit of books for our library. An oil-rich socialist nation is very anti-USA. And then there are five regimes on the West Coast that are pushing for return to civilian rule. The five countries involved are Ghana, Mali, Nigeria, Senegal, and the Upper Volta. President Carter just left Venezuela for Brazil today to talk about how to develop third world nations to assist. But you can know that one has to watch him with a wary eye. He's going to Africa to try to bolster up the very repressive dictatorship of Nigeria and the despotic rule of Liberia. It has always been right-wing. It was settled by elitist blacks who fled USA slavery and returned to Africa. Very, very Christianized, very, very Americanized. It's nothing more or less on the west coast of Africa than a small, very small nation, indeed it is, satellite of USA. Just a puppet of USA. Next to it is Ivory Coast. Above it is Guinea. Moving to the left, Sierra Leone, just north of it, which is also moving to the left, Guinea-Bissau, and Gambia, all on the west coast. But the Upper Volta, the west, northwest coast of Africa, and, as I said, Nigeria, Senegal, Mali, and Ghana were all overthrown originally by the CIA. Nkrumah Ghana, great leader of Ghana, thought to be murdered as he was caused to flee when the CIA overthrew Ghana through the military, and Nkrumah spent his life, the rest of his life, in Egypt. Stand by. Former FBI director of the California West Coast region, spoke to a large gathering of Citizens for Law and Order that has become, even in the opinion of the Boston Globe, an outright fascist group. It convened in San Leandro and was widely attended. Bates was reacting to a Black Panther Party's $100 million lawsuit against the FBI, CIA, and other federal intelligence agencies for their campaign to discredit, disrupt, and destroy the party. The lawsuit, by the way, has since fallen through, now that the party has become defunct and the newspaper has folded. In response to the fact of his being accused of doing all he could illegally to destroy the Black Panther Party, he said, "I am proud," quote unquote. The FBI director said, "I am proud I harassed the Black Panther Party," Bates told the 7th annual spring luncheon meeting of the ultra-conservative right-wing Citizens for Law and Order. He spoke to the all-white audience of some 1,775, and all of them gave him standing ovations. He condemned lenient judges and spoke favorably about the Supreme Court justice stand that we should return to lynch mob, direct kind of people participation in redressing their rights. Nice, ugly way of putting murder, lynch mobbing, into nice Christian rhetoric. The most impressive part of his speech had to do with his snide and derisive remarks about Huey P. Newton as he called on them to be sure that Peralta College District would not permit Huey P. Newton to teach a class free that would incite more black unrest, or as he called it, Negro unrest. He condemned the Justice Department for attacking the FBI, formerly under the past administration, and Senator Frank Church Senate Intelligence Committee. Bates recounted how all the FBI officers reacted to FBI Director Clarence Kelly's public apology for the Bureau's illegal activities and pressed for his resignation, which, of course, they succeeded in getting. And now William Webster, outright fascist who was racist, belonging to four elitist clubs, is the new FBI director, a racist judge that upheld the murder by the FBI of our Indian brothers and sisters in Wounded Knee. In every decision he made when he was a judge, the now acting FBI director, the now appointed FBI director Webster, Mr. Webster has always taken positions on the court in favor of racism and right-wing points of view. In Bates' opinion, federal officials have been treating police and intelligence agencies in an ungrateful, shoddy fashion. And he called for a grassroots revival of American concern. He said we should harass people like Black Panthers and all of these socialist and liberal do-gooders. It is my FBI, and I will not let them tear it down. They'll have to tear the FBI down over our dead bodies, which drew rounding applause from the entire delegation of Law and Order Convention 7th Annual Anniversary Northern California Convention. Gave him a tumultuous ovation as the audience was served dishes of strawberry ice cream. Bates stepped up the tempo. The FBI director stepped up the tempo. I'm all for the death penalty and always will be, he said. Candidate for the governorship, Davis, has a very good idea. He then reviewed what we have mentioned to you about Davis suggesting that there ought to be hangman's nooses at airports in every ghetto in case anybody got out of line. He said we should fight hard for restrictions on freedom of the press. I hope the press now realize what they've lost in supporters like ourselves who supported First Amendment rights. And he said we need restrictions on the actions of these pussyfooting judges. But the line which gained the most applause was Bates' anecdote of a New York judge who stepped off the bench during a sentence hearing, beat the defendant all around the face, then kicked him over and over again as he doubled up on the floor. The audience roared. They loved it. Some almost rolled on the floor with delight as Charles Bates, FBI director of the West Coast region, now head of securities, security division for the Bank of America, brought them to laughter that was roaring to the point that they rolled over at the thought of a judge stepping from the bench, violating law, beating up a defendant and kicking him over and over as he was doubled up on the floor. Somewhat, I would think, would indicate to you the mood in North America, USA, these days. Stand by. Tarzan movies are being brought back into network television, putting blacks in the most degrading position. These are early Tarzan movies where blacks are cast as being stupid, childlike, animal-like, and totally without any purpose, without the direction of white Tarzan. San Francisco and Oakland are the worst offenders. Channel 44, Channel 7, 4, and Channel 2 all carry these old-time Tarzan series. Protests to this point have had no effect on the television networks or independent stations like Channel 44 that are showing, reviewing the old yearnings of the white lord of the jungle that satisfies the instincts and prejudices of white Americans against black people. Police attack judge who had been removed from his bench and had gotten a title, according to New York News, well-deserved, Turn Him Loose Bruce, Judge Bruce McWright, black judge, was dismissed from his judgeship because he had dismissed charges against a suspect in a case involving alleged attempted robbery against a policeman's wife because there were no witnesses. And the witnesses, Mrs. Static, please. The witness herself gave an inaccurate description and identified three different people. Police call for an all-out attack, though, that he is to be permanently removed. Judge Wright has become the most controversial judge in the city and has been nicknamed Turn Him Loose Bruce by the predominantly white patrolman's benevolent association, which was infuriated by the case in which he set low bail and did not find the young man guilty for allegedly robbing a policeman's wife. Wright, 59, said that his return to criminal court would have to be without interference. There's a legal battle going on in the federal court to expose the discriminatory and wrongful motives, he said, of those who are trying to restrict judges who will give fairness in judicial administration. Stand by. Racist Hastings and San Francisco State College admissions policy protested but upheld. Over 70% of the school's 1,500 students supported the new racist admission policies, and 80% of the staff, board of directors, and college lecturers and professors were also in support of the Hastings policies, which now greatly restrict the admissions of black, Latino, Native American, and Asian student groups. Amazingly enough, in spite of the fact that 20% of the school population is black, the majority, 20% of the student population at Hastings had been members of minorities, black, Latino, Native American, Asian. The majority protesting, the 30%, that did protest the school's policies were mostly white. However, it's losing its interest as the directors, which is an extension of University of California, have upheld the racist policies. Stand by. Huey Newton receives death threats, called into all the local East Bay and San Francisco stations by conduits delivering messages from the United Black Revolutionary Front, which pretends to be highly nationalistic, but many suspect to be a front for the CIA or FBI. Huey has been being increasingly maligned as a sellout and a traitor to Black Nationalist Revolution, even though Huey still upholds communism, though he has modified it, that it should be a Euro-communism independent of the Soviet Union. He has still refused